Well, I trust that you're all full and had a good time of fellowship this afternoon. And now we're going to begin our service. So let's stand and sing tonight, this afternoon, hymn number 90, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hymn number 90, we'll sing all the stanzas. And after we have sung, Paul Trimble will come and lead us in prayer. So let's all stand to sing hymn number 90, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Remain standing, please, and Paul will come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our righteous Father in heaven, again we ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt deal bountifully with thy servants, that we may live and keep thy word. Open now our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We thank thee that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. O Lord, the wonder of wonders that thrills our souls, that thou art a close God, that thou art a loving God. We thank thee that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the most sublime, the most infinite expression of love there ever was. The other is like to it. Lord, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thank thee, O Lord, that we can also equally translate this verse, greater love hath no man than this, that Christ lay down his life for me. Again, Lord, that thou art a close God, thou art a loving God. Christ himself prayed, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Lord, let us all behold thy glory in the preaching of thy word and the reading of thy word, and then the singing of praise to Christ himself. We ask thee, Lord, that we would know something of the greatness of Christ. Lord, captivate us with that greatness. Captivate us with that power, with that love, that infinite love. Lord, the angels rejoice to see thy birth, to see the birth of thy Son. The shepherds rejoice with exceeding great joy. Lord, let us who hear this message, Lord, rejoice with joy unspeakable. Lord, we pray, Lord, that even as it says in the scriptures, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And cultivate in us a joy that the world cannot duplicate or give. Give us the joy today of seeing others one for Christ. Lord, complete families in Christ. Christ has said, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which I was lost. I say unto you, even that likewise shall joy be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Lord, we would ask thee, Lord, that we would know that verse, greater joy. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So, Lord, give us a day in which we can see Christ exalted, complete families in Christ. Let us long for thy return, Lord, then shall our joy be multiplied. We ask thee, Lord, that thou would give us a joy even in the suffering, Lord, that we often partake of in this life, yet knowing that Christ is greater than that suffering, that we have a Savior who can look and say, I know what you're going through. Lord, who can still love to give us healing and still love to save sinners. So we ask thee, Lord, to do great things. Lord, overwhelm us with thy love, and again, overwhelm us with what thou art able to do. Fill thy our brother, Lord, with the Spirit of God, that the words that we hear would be here words from God himself. For it's in Jesus Christ's magnificent name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll give some announcements later on in the service. But what we'll be doing is reading scripture and having different people sing and play for us. So we're going to have Linda Ruppner start us off. She'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. And after that, Bill Trimble and Amber Kearns will play Joy to the World. If you didn't get a brochure, there are some still on the table in the lobby. This gives you the program and it gives you the verses so you can follow along. So we're going to start with Linda coming and reading scripture for us, and then that'll be followed by Bill Trimble and Amber Kearns.
Isaiah 40, verse 3, 5, and 3, 4, and 5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Thank you.
O'Duffy's going to come now and read to us again from the prophet Isaiah. And then afterwards, young people, you will come and sing. So immediately after Joe Duffy's reading, young people, you come and sing.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Making Amber do double duty this afternoon. She's not only playing the piano, but we're going to have her read scripture. So she's going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 1.
Luke chapter 1, verse 30 through 35. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Let me bid you welcome in the Savior's name. We're glad that you're here this afternoon. If you're able to take part in the meal, I trust that you are well fed and you feel good about the meal. I had my first bear meat. That was tremendous. Thank you for bringing that. That is a surprise and very nice. So we are glad for the ladies who labored, for the people who shot the bear, for anyone else that had to kill a deer or something else to get us some meat today. But we're glad for your help in the meal. We're thankful for the men cleaning up even. We greatly appreciate all that have helped in taking part in producing that meal today. We also like to thank those who are here laboring for us when it comes to the music. It doesn't happen. People are practicing. They're working on something that will bring glory to the name of the Lord and help us in our worship. And we're truly thankful for the instrumentalists and those that are doing the singing. Thank you for your love and for your help in worshiping Jesus Christ. We will be having an offering in just a minute, but before we do, we want to give thanks as a church for a number of different things. We're going to have Chester Matadi come. Chester, if you'd come now, he wants to give thanks and thank you for the generous gift that was given to him just a few minutes ago before we ate, and we'll let Chester do that. After Chester has come, we're going to turn this over to Brother Palsy, and he will be giving thanks as well. As far as announcements go, there will be no prayer meeting on Tuesday night nor Saturday morning. Next Sunday, Paul Trimble will be preaching, and we'd ask you to remember in prayer the work of God in Kenya and Nepal. Those are multiple churches in each place. Pray for the work in those two countries. And then also remember our sister Pat Armstrong and her infection in the foot, that the Lord would bring healing. She's on a very, very strong antibiotic. This is almost like a last gasp, as it were. If this doesn't work, they don't have a lot of choices. Amputation is not what you want to do. So, you know, pray for her that the Lord would undertake for her, as well as Mary Ellen Sargent, as we said this morning. She will be scheduled for surgery in February for pain that's in the vertebrae in the neck. So let's pray for her as well. So at this time, we'll ask Chester to come, and he can give his thanksgiving to you. And then we will have Paul Sikanje coming after that. So, Chester.
So much. Today I came again to an envelope. Yeah, you see, I came to my wife. They did well for me. So I thank you so much. And I tell Pastor, thank you so much. Give a lot of food. For our envelope again, it downstairs. When I go in home, I carry it. I tell all of you, thank you. Church members, thank you. Thank you so much. All the
time.
All of the time.
Thank you, Chester. That was a Liberian accent, in case you didn't know that. So,
well, this is the time of the year that we try to recognize all the people that work here at the church on a regular basis to keep the carpet clean, the pew clean, and so that we can come and worship. So we have people who do a weekly cleaning, the toilets and downstairs and here in the sanctuary. I just like to name a few of them. We have Bill Dennison, he's one of them. Stephen George, and I know also that Jim Browse does spend a lot of time cleaning the church here. So this is what is done, really, in the background that you don't see. But you need to know that somebody is here every week just to make sure that the sanctuary is clean and we can worship and the Lord in peace. There are some other people that are in the front row, as it were, that would like to recognize the young people who do play for us each Lord's Day, and others who are laboring in the Lord's work here. So let me start by recognizing Ken Sasa. Ken is laboring in the background, just making sure that the service is recorded and goes live on Sermon Audio, and he's doing a work that is very important. So thank you very much, Ken. Then we have here the trumpet, Bill Tremble. Remember last time, the first time I asked Bill to play for us, he wasn't sure if the trumpet was okay to be here in the sanctuary, and I can imagine doing without the trumpet today. So I want to thank you for your labor, for your ministry. And obviously, just thank you, Lord. Now we have a young man who is very talented, and he sits at the corner where Amber and Julia sit, playing the piano, playing the violin. And this is Isaac Sasa. So we'd like to recognize Isaac at this point and thank him for his ministry in music. And then we have our pianist, Amber. We know how much Amber, how much we miss her when we come here on Tuesday and we have to sing without music. When Mrs. Allison is not here to play for us, we have to try to carry a tune. Joe Duffy knows something about that. So we're really grateful for Amber's labor for us. So Amber, this is a token. And then after Amber, we have Sharon as well. Sharon also plays the violin, and she's the one replacing Julia. She's getting very well. She's getting very good. So thank you, Sharon. What about you? Oh, Amber, this is for you too. And then we have in the office Martha Cooper, who takes care of our communication. She sent out the CDs. She burned them, sent them out, and do our mailing, and do a lot of work on the computer for us when we have special meetings. She's the one who runs the announcements and the flyers and things like that. So we couldn't do it without Martha. Martha, please come. Your hand. Okay. And then we have Mrs. Allison. I like to bug her when I call her the first lady. You know, we have some churches where the pastor's wife is called the first lady. So Miss Allison, she is a tremendous asset to this church, to the ministry, working with the young people. She truly has a heart for the young people. And she's always praying for our youngs, for our children, that the Lord would save them, and has always touched my heart. And I know even as she lives here, she will continue to uphold them in prayer, willing to see the Lord moving in their lives. So, Mrs. Allison, we're going to miss you. So let me give you this time. Last but not least, we have that to Allison. But I don't know if I was going to give him this because I would have got offended, brother. He was bragging how the bear meat was great, and I fed him monkey meat, and then he didn't want it. So a bear and a monkey, I don't know. There's not much difference. The bear is more like a gorilla. No, he wouldn't even touch it. So, I don't know, maybe I'll try again another time. But it's true that the bear was tremendous. This is the first time we had bear, and that was really nice. So thank you. Actually, Allison, we want to give you this as a token of our love. And this token is even more meaningful this year because this is the last time that you will be with us as our pastor. It is the Lord's will that he takes you down to South Carolina to head the seminary there. So we bow before his will, but it's with great sadness and regret that we see you leave. You've been our pastor for 15 years, and there have been 15 wonderful years of faithful service. So may the Lord bless you, and may your work there be to his glory and to his honor to build his church. Voila. I think this is all. Thank you.
Let me thank the congregation for your kindness and the card and gift. We greatly appreciate you looking after us. We do love you. And we're commanded to love God's people, but it's so much easier when the relationship calls forth love. And when you have a relationship with God's people who love the Lord and love you, it makes it so much easier to love them in turn. So we do truly thank you for your generosity and kindness to us. Let me thank the elders and deacons publicly again. We do this every year, but really the work of God goes on in this church because you have elders and deacons who are laboring behind the scenes. And so very rarely do they get out publicly in front of you, and they are constantly doing things that you know nothing of, in order that you might worship here and not have to worry about certain things being done. So let me thank the elders and deacons for their hard labors and their work, their sacrificial labors. It is not easy, and they have families too and livelihoods as well, and yet they sacrifice much of that in order that they might help us in our worship and service. So let me thank the elders and deacons at this time. By the way, that was a Haitian, French, Liberian, American accent. So the other was Belgium, yeah. The other was Liberian. So we're going to continue on with our worship this afternoon, and we're going to read some more scripture and have some more singing or playing of hymns. And we're going to have Kathleen Beal come, and she'll read Matthew chapter 1. And then we have a medley of carols, which is going to be done by a string ensemble, and I think the flute's going to be part of that. So woodwind and string ensemble. So Kathleen, would you come now and read, and then afterwards the string ensemble, would you come?
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
I made a digression. We were supposed to have an offering and didn't do it. And we were supposed to have an offertory and didn't do that either. So we'll do it now. So let's seek the Lord's face in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on our giving this afternoon. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can give unto thee. Lord, we confess you need nothing from us. Thou dost create this world and rule and reign in the affairs of men. And yet, Lord, you bid us come and give to thee. Truly, it is for our benefit that we be grateful to thee and show gratitude to thee and enter into the work of God with thee by the giving of gifts. Lord, we would ask then that you would take these gifts and use them for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Spread thy kingdom. Build up thy church. Help us each one to glorify thy great name, even in our giving, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be led now in worship by Julia Kearns and Hannah Allison. We're going to continue on with our Bible reading and prayer. I'm going to ask Titus Dagger if he would come and read to us from 1 Timothy chapter 3. After that, the choir will come and sing the Savior of the World. Titus.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Jubilee.
Just wanted to make a quick announcement. Just as a date we want you to put in your calendar, we will have a farewell service for Dr. and Mrs. Allison, and we're looking at the first weekend of the month of February. That will be their last Sunday with us. So we hope either that Friday or Saturday, depending on availability, we'll have a farewell service. So please put that in your calendar already, and we have a sign-up sheet soon, and make plans, please, to attend. Thank you.
We have one more scripture reading, and we're going to ask Christina Trimble if she would come now and read from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7.
Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 88. We have been reading about the Son of God and his coming into this world. And let's sing number 88. We'll sing three stanzas of this hymn. We'll sing stanza 1 and then stanza 3 and 4. So hymn number 88, let's stand to sing stanza 1, 3, and 4. O come, all ye faithful. Seated. Again, I want to thank those who played for us and sang this afternoon, as well as those who read scripture. That is all added to our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the closing moments of this afternoon meeting, I want to read again from the passage that Mr. Duffy read from, and then make a few comments on this passage as we bring our meeting to a close. So we're turning to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading from his inspired word. A child is born. This is what the world is clamoring to hear about at this time of the year. A child is born. And yet if that's as far as you go in your understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are truly deficient in knowing him. It is more than a child being born. Child being born is described in Scripture in a number of different ways. He is that Holy One in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He is the one that was conceived without the help of a man. He's born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born during the Roman Empire. All those things were predicted of him. But if you don't go far enough, you won't see the fact that he's more than just a child. He's more than even a sinless child. As we come to this passage of Scripture, this passage of Scripture is being fulfilled as you sit here now. This is going on now as we sit here to worship. It's not just that we're singing about someone who lived 2,000 years ago. We're singing about the one who rules and reigns. The government is upon his shoulders. It said here in the future, the government would be upon his shoulders, but now it's in the present. The government is on his shoulders. What is this child's name? Well, we know in the New Testament his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But when you go to this passage, he's given a number of different names. The first name that is given to him is the name Wonderful. Now, when we look at something and we think it's wonderful, what we're really saying is it's nice. But that's not what this word means. This word comes from a root from which the word miracle comes. A miracle is something that happens that causes awe and wonder in the one beholding the miracle. And this description then of the Lord Jesus Christ is that those who view him would stand back in awe and wonder of him. There would be things that he would do and say that would transcend their understanding. There would be things about his being that would transcend their understanding. There would be things about his eternal work that mankind would never be able to grasp in all of its completeness. His name is Wonderful. His name is awe-inspiring. When you think that he's man and God, as this verse teaches us, he's called the Mighty God, yet at the same time, he is a child that is born, a son that is given. He is both God and man, two distinct natures, and yet joined in one person forever. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't fathom all of that. I can't put that all together in my mind. I know the data. I know the facts. But when it actually tries to, as it were, settle into the mind, and the mind wrap itself around all that great truth, it can't happen. You stand back just in awe and wonder. We know that he's the creator of the ends of the earth. And when you read Genesis chapter 1, God doesn't tell you how he did it, just that he did. That he spoke and light came into being. That he formed the world and then he made man out of the dust that he had made. God doesn't tell you how he did it in the sense that he tells you about the miracle. He just tells you that he did it. And this creator is also the redeemer. He is the one that redeems his people for all eternity, shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary in order that those people for whom the blood is shed would have all of their sins removed for time and eternity. When you try to bring this all together, you stand back in awe and wonder. And today, if you're not standing in awe and wonder of this child that is born, you don't know him yet. Can I say that very clearly? You don't know him yet. There's many things going on in our society today, and people who say they're Christians and they're doing things that indicate they don't stand in awe and wonder of Christ. There is no fear of the Lord before their eyes. They can do and say and be whatever they want to be, and it doesn't affect them as far as their relationship with the Lord is concerned. Well, then you don't know this Lord. Because when you come to know him, one of the things that's stamped upon your heart is this awe and wonder of him. This is the first name that's given to us. And you can call him that tonight. You can call him the one who is wonderful, the one who is awe-inspiring, the one who transcends our understanding. But he's also called the Counselor. This is a strange title to give to a king. The kings all had counselors. They had those that they could go to give them counsel as to how to run the kingdom, how to declare war and fight war, how to raise funds for the work of the kingdom. They had counselors for all of that. They had counselors for keeping peace in the kingdom, counselors for knowing how to remove those that were obstinate in the kingdom and put in their place those that will humbly submit to the king and his work. The king had counselors, but this great king is the counselor. He doesn't need your counsel. He doesn't need my counsel. He is the counselor. We need his counsel, and when we come for wisdom to him, he gives it to us greatly and freely. His wisdom comes from the fact that he is the counselor of his people. Even Solomon, the wisest king on earth, had counselors. But this king needs no counsel from man. He doesn't need your counsel tonight. You need his. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it would, there used to be a time in this country when the people would go to Christ for counsel. Now we have stopped going to Christ for counsel. And we got crazy things going on in our society. Homes breaking up. People murdering other people, all kinds of wickedness on every hand. Why is our society falling apart? We're no longer going to this one who is the counselor for wisdom as to how to run a home. We're no longer going into how to run a society, how to run a school, how to run a life. We don't need his counsel. Yes, we do. He is the great king, and he is the counselor. But this great king is also said in this passage of Scripture to be the mighty God. The mighty God. There's no question here concerning his deity. We were looking at in the Sabbath school, Isaiah 7:14, and it says there his name shall be called Emmanuel. Those are three Hebrew words coming together to mean God with us. The Bible is very clear. Jesus Christ is the God who created the world. He is Jehovah God, as the Scripture says in the New Testament. He's God of very God. And while 100% of Jesus Christ is human, apart from sin, yet we could say in another sense, 100% of Jesus Christ is God. He's the mighty God. He can do anything he pleases. No man can stay his hand. We come here to the next statement concerning him, and it says he is the Father of eternity. Our translators translate this, the everlasting Father. There is not a confusion here between everlasting Father and the Father in the Trinity. He's not saying that Jesus Christ is the Father in the Trinity. Father, think of Father as an author, as the one who begins something. Jesus Christ is the beginner, the author, the one who rules over eternity. Eternity came into existence through Jesus Christ. And his title then is that he is this author of eternity. And then he is the Prince of Peace. Again, this morning we were thinking on that great term that Christ is our peace and that he rules in peace. And we mentioned that this word Prince of Peace does not mean that he's less than a king. In those days, there would be a prince who was waiting to become king. But the kings were also under the great king, that is God. Therefore, they were a prince under the great king. Jesus Christ is the great king. Here are some titles given to him. And you know no one else like this one. There's no one else that these titles would fit. No one else that can compare with what is being said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, a child is born to us, yes, but if that's as far as you go, you are deficient, as I said at the beginning, in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think in expositing this passage, what it says about his kingdom, not just the names of the king and what attributes that he has, but when you think of his kingdom, there are glorious things said about this kingdom. It's going to increase and increase and increase. There shall be no end. You see that in verse 7. He began on the throne when he ascended to God's right hand, and he began to conquer and to conquer and to conquer, and he will continue to conquer until he has conquered everything in this life. The last enemy that he destroys, according to the Apostle Paul, is death itself. And that is destroyed when he comes. Jesus Christ will come as the great conquering king, and he'll put down all of his enemies. Even death itself will be vanquished from his kingdom. Would you note the increase of the peace shall be no end? In the Old Testament, the word peace oftentimes had the idea of removing that which was agitating someone. But it can also have the idea of a wholeness. And in having the idea of a wholeness, it means that it has this idea of prosperity. You're making things whole, where once they were deficient, now they're being made up and made whole. They're prospering. The prosperity of his kingdom will know no end, is what Isaiah is saying. He would sit upon the throne of David. He would order that kingdom. He would establish that kingdom with judgment and justice, and that kingdom would last forever. There's no kingdom on this earth that lasts forever. The great Roman Empire didn't last forever. People think that our kingdom will last forever in the United States. It won't. Either the Lord will come and bury it as he buries all the other nations at war with him, or it will be dissolved as these other nations have been dissolved before. The kingdom that lasts forever is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't say that because I am unpatriotic. I love the nation in which I'm born. But I love this nation far greater that we're speaking about tonight. The one kingdom that has no boundaries to it. It increases and increases and increases. The one kingdom that prospers and prospers and prospers. You don't have to look at its bank books. You don't have to look at its economic page to find out whether it's prospering or not. It prospers and prospers and prospers. This is the kingdom of the one child who was born. Who's going to produce all of this? Well, it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. The word zeal in the Old Testament can also mean jealousy. Both in a good sense and in a bad sense. God is a jealous God. That's a good sense. You're envying someone. That jealousy is a bad sense, and it's evil. And at the heart of someone being zealous oftentimes is a zeal or a jealousy for a covenant that's been made. And so a husband and wife will zealously guard their marriage because they're jealous over it. And the Lord is jealous over his people. Here he's jealous over this one who is indeed the child born. And he's going to perform exactly what is stated here. I said earlier that this is happening now. We move from the exposition of this passage to the examples of the New Testament and Old Testament. And it's very clear that he is God manifest in the flesh. That's the language Paul uses in 1 Timothy 3:16, as we heard just a few minutes ago. It's very clear that he was the Word of God, the one who created the world, and yet the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, according to John chapter 1 and verse 14. He is this one who inspires awe. He is this one who is both God and man. He is that. The New Testament declares that to us, but it also declares to us that he is the great king. In the book of the Revelation, it says he's the ruler of the kings of the earth in the Greek. Again, our English translation says the prince of the kings of the earth. Not prince and being less than the kings of the earth, but prince and being above the kings of the earth, as he is under the reign of God and those other kings are under him. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Or to use the language in the book of the Revelation, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not waiting to become that. He is that now. When he ascended to God's right hand after his resurrection, after going through the earth for 40 days, he went to the right hand of God. What was poured out at Pentecost was the Holy Spirit indicating that he was now on the throne. He had been anointed as the great king. Right now he's ruling and reigning. Psalm 110, he says, he rules in the midst of his enemies. Are you one of his enemies? He's ruling in your midst. And we have a land throughout this world that is fighting against him. Our country is fighting against him. Other countries are fighting against him. And yet he's still ruling in the midst of his enemies. He's still establishing his church. He's still expanding his kingdom. He's still conquering a people. And he will continue to do that until he destroys his enemies. When we come to the New Testament, there's passage after passage after passage telling us that he sits at God's right hand and that he is actively ruling and reigning from that throne. He is the one who is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We thought just for a moment on the exposition of this passage and the examples of it in the New Testament. What are some exhortations that ought to come to us if we believe what is stated here? One exhortation is that we ought to pray with confidence. Isn't that what Hebrews 4 tells us? You have one who is seated upon the throne of grace. And you can come to that throne of grace and he will give you mercy and grace to help you in your hour of need. He's on a throne of grace. Go and ask him for help. Go and ask for grace. If you believe what is being written here and you believe that this is taking place right now as it is, then go to that throne, let no one keep you from that throne, and petition his throne for the grace and help that you need, the mercy that you need, to get through day after day. More than that, draw power from his power. In Ephesians chapter 1, it speaks about him being raised from the dead and seated above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And Paul is saying, do you not know that you can receive from him power? It's not merely he's on the throne and you're down here, but you're joined to him with a spiritual union. And there flows from the one who has all power given unto him. There flows from him to his people the power they need for daily exercises in his will. And so whether it be serving him or whether it be worshiping him, he gives his power if you're doing his will. Now, if you're doing your will, that's another matter. If you're doing that which is sinful, that's another matter. But if you're doing his will, all the power of the mighty God is at your disposal to help you. Draw from his power. Fight the enemies from his victory. That's what Ephesians 6 tells us. Ephesians 6 talks about the enemies, some of them even in spiritual high places, and yet those enemies are defeated. It doesn't tell us to win the victory over them as much as it tells us that the victory has been won in Christ. Put on the armor of Christ, put on the armor of this great king, and you too will be victorious. Satan can be crushed under your feet as you walk. And then labor diligently with our victorious Lord. There is indeed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the very last verse the great truth that because Christ is risen and coming again, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. It would be in vain if it was all what is in your hands. If it's all what you have done, that would be in vain. You can't control it. You can't keep it. You can't make it go forward. It would all be in vain. But if it's Jesus Christ building His kingdom, and you're working in that kingdom, you are drawing from Him His victory. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Makes you want to get up in the morning and labor. It's not in vain in the Lord. If it were your wisdom and your power and your might and your organizational skills that made the kingdom go forward, yes, it would be worth staying in bed and pulling the covers over your head. But He's upon the throne, and He's ruling and reigning. And you and I are a part of this glorious kingdom, and He's going to continue to reign over that kingdom until He vanquishes every enemy in under His feet. You won't be doing that. He does it. He does it Himself. And what we're called to do is to labor for the King. And He's been giving you gifts. He's given you abilities to labor for His name's sake. Some of you say, I could never stand in the pulpit and preach. Well, He's not going to ask you to do that. But there are things for you to do. There are things that each one of us can do in the place of prayer and in laboring, trying to give the gospel out and extend the kingdom of this great child that is born. Do you know this King? Are you serving under Him? There are in the earth men who with great charisma would gather other men under them to give them orders in order that they themselves might be more prominent in the earth. I would never send you to such a man. But I don't hesitate to send you to the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is wonderful. He truly is able to govern you and make you profitable and make your life profitable in the earth. Come and embrace Christ. Come and follow after Him. Come and follow this King who had the government put upon His shoulders. Because that's the kingdom that's going to last forever. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Do you know this great King? I can introduce you to Him, but I can't save you. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can save you. If you'll come to Him, if you'll embrace Him as I did back when I was in high school, you'll find that He has His arms wide open, and He's willing to receive you into His kingdom now. And that kingdom will last for all eternity. But you spurn the great King. You're fighting a battle you will never win. No one has fought with Christ and won. No one. Come and submit to Him. Come and bow before Him. Come and take Him as your Lord and your Savior. He will welcome you. He will give you eternal life. He will use you for His glory and your good. Come and embrace Christ this morning. This afternoon, if you need Christ, I'm your servant for Christ's sake. If I can help you, speak a word with me, and I'd be happy to spend the time necessary in order to point you to Christ. But it's not me that you need. This afternoon, what you need is Christ. This afternoon, you say, I know Christ. There's so much more to know. I do believe His name is wonderful. The more I live, the more I understand that name to be wonderful. Would you come and embrace Him this afternoon and say, Lord, what you want me to do, I'll do. Where you want me to labor, I'll labor. Whether people hear of my labor, whether they applaud my labor or no, what you want me to do and where you want me to labor, I will labor for Thee, because Thou art the great King and the government is upon Thy shoulder. Would you come and tell Him that? And let Him guide your life. Let Him direct your steps. Father in heaven, truly it has been a good day in that we have been able to, like Mary, treasure up those things that we have learned from the Scriptures about Christ and to ponder them, to meditate upon them, and to think upon them. Even this afternoon we have been thinking glorious thoughts of Christ, and yet our thinking is so much smaller and so much deficient compared to what He really is. And we would ask, O God, that You would give us big thoughts of Christ that we would see and understand His greatness and His glory, and that that would give us liberty and power to do His will with joy. Lord, help each one of us this afternoon. Help each one of us, even at the close of another Sabbath day, to arise and give Thee thanks that we are in His kingdom, that we're following His bidding, that He has something for us to do every day of the week. And Lord, we would ask that You would help us to do it with all of our hearts, knowing our labor is not in vain. For any this day who are seeking Thee in salvation, O Lord, we would ask that You would indeed bring them into Your kingdom, that they would come under Your rule, and that, Lord, You would use them in the time that they have left on this earth to bring glory and praise and honor to Thy great name. Lord, do that matchless work. Do that wonderful work. Do that soul-saving work in the heart of those who are gathered here and are without Christ. Bring them into Thy kingdom. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.